If you go online, you can find out very easily the history of Memorial Day. And that's what I did this week once again. And it was interesting to find out that Memorial Day started on May 5, 1868, by a general in the United States Army. His name was General John Logan. And it was first observed after he declared that day to be a holiday. It was first observed on May 30, 1868, when flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. It's right and proper for us to do this every year as a nation. It's good for us to remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice. Indeed, it may be even a matter of national security, because we do need to be reminded that freedom and the blessings we enjoy as a nation are not free. Sometimes they cost people their lives. So it's good for us to remember and to pay homage this weekend. In the passage of Scripture we read a moment ago, the Apostle Peter wants us to remember certain things. In fact, he says, I want to remind you of these things. He says, I want to refresh your memory of these things. He says that in verses 12 through 15. I told you. So, in verses 12 through 15, I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that as soon as I put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, and I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. So, I would like for us to look at our Bibles and find out what these things are that Peter wants to remind us of. The first is, remember, faith is a gift from God. Verse 1, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith. It's passive tense. We who are righteous through God did not do anything to receive that righteousness. A gift was given to us, the gift of faith. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And even that is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, so that no one may boast, I did it. I lived a good life. I lived a righteous life. Can you think of the greatest gift you've ever received, or one of the greatest gifts you've ever received? I bet it's not one of the greatest gifts because it cost a lot, but maybe because it had some sentimental value. Maybe because it was something that was passed down through the family to you, and now it belonged to you. Something of immense value to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, we often think of that as salvation, and it does include salvation, but that's not all. Because in order to get the gift of salvation, we have to have first the gift of faith, and we receive that. Just as I might offer you a gift, you have to take out, reach out and receive it. So it is with us. Faith is a gift. And I have to constantly remind myself of that, because I fall back into so easily works righteousness. I've got to do. I've got to perform. I've got to be better. And as we're going to see later in this message, that's important. But it's not the gift. It doesn't earn us the gift of salvation. Remember, faith is a gift. Second, remember, grace and peace comes through a knowledge of God the Father and God the Son. Now, let's look at this more closely. Verse 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So in other words, all I have to do is know about, read facts about God and Jesus, and I get grace and peace. Well, it helps to have the facts, certainly. But the knowledge, the word for knowledge here means more than just head knowledge. It's a knowledge that comes through a relationship, an intimate relationship. This is a knowledge that comes to us of God the Father and God the Son through our relationship with Him. And grace and peace flows through that relationship. The grace and peace that God gives us, which is so important. I've got to know that I've got this grace. Then I can have peace. But it also results in our ability to give grace and peace to others. If we have been forgiven much, we must be able to forgive much. Back in 2006, October of 2006, a man by the name of Charles Roberts entered an Amish school in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and he just shot down 6 Amish girls, killed them dead. It made the national news, of course. Unfortunately, events like this continue to happen. Again, it happened this past week. But the wonderful difference in this story was that those Amish families didn't rush out and lawyer up and begin a suit against this man and his family, or against the school for not protecting them, or against law enforcement because they didn't react properly. No, the Amish families that lost their daughters went to the family of Charles Roberts, the murderer, and offered their condolences to them, the family, invited them to their girls' funerals. How could that ever be? Grace and peace had been given to them. They had the supernatural ability to offer grace and peace to others. Remember, grace and peace comes through an intimate knowledge of God the Father and God the Son. Get to know them. Read the Word. Pray. Talk to them. Listen to them talk to you. Have an intimate knowledge and relationship. Third, remember, God gives us everything we need for life and godliness. Verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him, that intimate knowledge, who called us by His own glory and goodness. I've been through Ely, Minnesota. Ely, Minnesota is famous for its canoe trips in the boundary waters between the United States and Canada. Anyone ever been to Ely, Minnesota and gone on a boundary waters canoe trip? No. It is a quaint little town. And when you drive down the main street, it kind of goes level and then it goes up a hill. And all along that street, both sides, you will find outfitters. You wouldn't think in a small remote town like this that you would find this many businesses to outfit canoers. But it's just lined with outfitters. And when you go to Ely, Minnesota, you usually go there. There's no other reason to go there to take a trip on a canoeing trip on the boundary waters. It's beautiful. Kind of buggy, but it's beautiful. And all you have to do is go. All you have to do is get there. All you have to do is get in the car and go, because those outfitters will provide you with a canoe, with paddles, with life jackets, with cooking utensils, a full menu, snacks, water purifiers, a tent, sleeping bag, everything you need complete. Go to them, they'll take care of it. No worries. Just drive up and they'll take care of it. God gives us everything that we need to live the Christian life. I don't have to make it happen. I don't have to plan for it to happen. Now, we're going to see in a few minutes that there are certain things we need to do to cooperate with the process. But God provides everything we need. He provides the faith. He provides the grace. He will give us the peace. He will give us everything. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. One of the problems I have, and I think we all have, is temptation. Sin. We fall back into sin. I mentioned it in my prayer. Sometimes we go back to that old way of life. We know better, but there's just this hold on us. We just can't keep that ugly head of sin down all the time. It raises its ugly head. There is a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that when I was a teenager, our pastor made us memorize. Now, I didn't like it then, but I memorized it, and I've never forgotten it. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. No temptation shall overcome you, but such as is common to all people. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability to withstand it, but will, with the temptation, also provide the way of escape so that you may endure it. God will provide everything we need to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. And then as we advance, or as we move on in years into our Christian faith, there are times when God calls us, not just to be a minister, not just to be a missionary, not just to be a youth worker, but he calls us to serve as a Sunday school teacher or an elder or a deacon. And we say, oh, I don't know. I don't know if that's for me. God provides everything we need in order to do his will for our lives. I mentioned it last week, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. There it is again. His power. I don't have to manufacture the ability to be an effective leader. If he's calling me to that, he will enable me and empower me to it. You too. I don't know what it might be that you're struggling with. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can withstand this. I don't know if I can bear up under this. God will provide everything you need to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. Remember, God gives us great and precious promises. Verse 4, through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, the promises, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Wow. He gives us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. God's nature. The nature of God is to love, and I may participate in that. The nature of God is to have wisdom, and I may participate in that. The nature of God is to forgive, and I may participate in that. The nature of God is to have a plan for the redemption of the world, and I may participate in that. You may participate in the divine nature. We think of ourselves as being average, ordinary people. But listen, don't just listen to what I say. Read it for yourself. You participate in the divine nature. Amazing. But there's more. That you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation shall overcome you. Know and put your trust in the promises of God, and you will be able to escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, I will be the first to confess that even though I know this, and even though I try to claim this, that I still fall, and so will you. But the promise is there. It's to be grasped, it's to be embraced, it's to be gone back to when we have stumbled and fallen. Remember, God gives us His great and precious promises, and those promises work. You know, when we go and buy a new car, we always inquire about the warranty. When we buy a new refrigerator, a new oven, we inquire about the warranty. It's important to us. If we know what that warranty is, if anything goes wrong with that appliance or with that automobile, it will be fixed. It will be taken care of. That's the automaker's, the appliance's promise. So if it does break, we take it back and say, hey, you promised that if something went wrong, this would get fixed, and they do. God promises us certain things. In Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the whole Bible, we have certain verses that talk about the promises of God, and I'd like to read some of them. Verses 49 and 50. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this, your promise preserves my life. Verse 116. Sustain me according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Verse 140, your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. Verse 148, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. Verse 154, defend my cause and redeem me, preserve my life according to your promise. Verse 162, I rejoice in your promise like one who finds great spoil. Jesus tells the parable of a person who goes out into a field and they find a treasure. They cover it up. They go and sell everything that they have, everything, because that treasure is worth more than everything they've got. They sell everything so they can go and buy that field, because in that field is a hidden treasure. It's worth more than everything they've got. Our treasure is God Himself and His promises. Now, that's not always easy to find joy and security in, because it's kind of invisible. It requires that gift of faith. And sometimes there can be a struggle there. But God gives us His great and precious promises that we need to claim, know by reading His word. You don't know them if you don't read it. And then trusting them. Now, a couple of times I said that all of this doesn't happen because we deserve it. But there are certain things that we need to remember about our lives. Remember, we are called to make every effort to add godly virtues to our lives. And so we read in verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. And then there's a whole list of qualities. Make every effort. I like football. I like to watch football. I am frustrated My whole life, the Lions have been losers. But I watch them. And I watch the NFL draft to see what players the Lions are going to get this year. And this will be the year because of the draft. Oh, I watch all the nights of the NFL draft to see who they're going to come up with. Well, this year, if you're a fan of football, they drafted number one, not number one in the whole draft, but their number one choice was a lineman, Frank Ragnow, out of Arkansas. Frank Ragnow was the number one rated center in the country. Frank Ragnow, in his whole career, never allowed a sack of his quarterback. And they got him. Number two. Their next draft selection was Tarion Johnson, a running back out of Auburn. The number one rated running back in the SEC. 1,000-yard gainer all the years that he was in college. Rugged, big, 6 feet, 230 pounds. Now, they've done a lot, those guys. They've accomplished a lot. They've got big names. They're going to sign big contracts. They're going to make a lot of money. But they can't rest on what they've done in the past. They are in OTAs, kind of a pre-practice time for the rookies and the experienced guys. Right now, they're learning. They're growing. They're getting better. And they will say it themselves, I've got to get better. Well, wait a minute, you're the best in the college ranks. Well, I've got to get better. You and I have been given a gift of faith. We've been given the gift of grace and peace. We're going to be given everything we need for life and godliness. God's given us his great and precious promises. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've got we participate in the divine nature, but we cannot rest in that. We have to make every effort. Goodness, knowledge of God, Jesus, the Word, the warnings, the commands, the promises, self-control of my human fleshly passions. I control them, they must not control me. Perseverance, don't give up, remain faithful, even when it does not appear that it pays off to remain faithful. Godliness, God-likeness, be aware of how I project God's image to others. Brotherly kindness, kindness to everyone, and love. Verse 8 says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Verse 9, if anyone does not have them, he's blind, he's forgotten. I'm trying to remind you. Verse 10, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to add to your calling and election, to make your calling and election sure. What? Me make my calling and election? Sure. I thought if I was elect, that was it. If I'm one of the elect, I'm in, man. Make my calling and election sure? Election is something I cannot explain. It's God's doing. Making my election sure is what I participate in. Because if I, in increasing measure, am making every effort to add to my faith these qualities, it shows that I've been elected. It does not elect me. It shows that I've been elected. If we are not increasing in these qualities, if we are not growing in these qualities, then we'd better doubt. Am I one of God's elect? Am I saved? Have I received the gift of faith? And verse 11. Verse 10, you will make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the Super Bowl last year was won by the Philadelphia Eagles. Nick Foles, a backup quarterback, led them to the Super Bowl victory. Nick Foles, by the way, is a Christian. If you watched that game carefully, you could see when he got under center, when he stood in the shotgun offense, that he had a wristband on. Did you notice that? And the wristband was WWJD. What would Jesus do? Nick Foles is a Christian. That's beside the point. But when the Philadelphia Eagles went back home to Philadelphia, they were welcomed with a citywide, massive demonstration of joy. Super Bowl champions. There's going to come a day when you and I, because of God's provision in our lives, and because we made that election sure by making every effort to live a victorious life in Christ Jesus, when we will be received into heaven with a grand celebration. I don't deserve it. Nobody's going to celebrate me. Oh, they're going to celebrate the redemption of you and me. They're not going to celebrate us. They're going to celebrate Jesus and the redemption of us. And finally, we read in verse 12 that we are to remember this. We have the truth. I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth. You now have. Last Sunday, I made some reference to this. Who determines what truth is? Who tells us what the truth is? Was it Dr. Phil? Is it our friends? Does the Supreme Court tell us what the truth is? Do politicians? The truth is contained in this book. Not all truth is contained in this book. There's some truth that we find out in mathematics, formulas, and so forth. But what's in this book is the truth. And what's in this book is the truth about God and about how to be right with God and about what we can expect in life when we follow God's promises and what we can expect in death. It's the truth. We hear a lot about fake news. People saying that it's not the truth. The Bible is fake news. But Jesus said, I came to bring good news. And I'm telling you the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, Peter warns his friends, the people to whom he's writing, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard. Be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by error. Know the truth. So if you're driving down a highway and you've seen a sign and the sign says dangerous curves ahead, you got a choice. You can believe the sign and the truth of the sign by slowing down and maneuvering the curves. You can ignore the sign and maintain your speed and just trust your driving ability that you'll be able to maneuver the curves at the same speed. Or you can have a defiant attitude like some people do, and they'll see a sign like that and they'll take it as a challenge and they'll increase their speed to see if they can make it through the curves. But boy, that's dangerous. However we respond to the sign doesn't change the truth of the sign. There are curves ahead. If you slow down, there's still dangerous curves, but you're better off. If you maintain your speed, it's dangerous. If you defy it and increase your speed, you're in big trouble. Watch out. The sign's truth doesn't change. People may read the Bible and say, that's not true. It doesn't change the truth. People read the Bible and defy it and say, I'm not living by that. That's defying the truth, but it doesn't change the truth. And the truth of God's word is this. Faith is a gift from God. Receive it. Grace and peace comes through a knowledge of God and His Son Jesus. Get to know them intimately. God gives us everything we need for life and godliness. No excuses for us. God will provide everything we need to live a Christian life and to live a godly life. God gives us His great and precious promises. Find out what they are by reading His word. Put your trust in them. Put them to the test. They'll work. We're called to make every effort to add to our faith godly virtues. And we have the truth. You have the truth. This is the truth. Don't be ashamed of it. Let's live by it. Let's pray. Father, how thankful we are that You've taken care of everything. Yes, there's still some effort to be expended, exerted. There's still some responsibility in our part, but You've promised that even when going gets tough, You'll be there, You'll provide, You'll enable, You'll empower, You'll forgive, You'll pour out grace. We've decided to follow You, God, and to follow Your Son, Jesus. Now help us to remember these things, to remember that they're true, and to make every effort to put them into practice in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.